A man. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. How great is Beth? Doesn't know what it says in Matthew chapter 2, but how great is Beth? Okay, and really, God has already spoken my sermon, so I can shorten it a little bit this morning, which is really good. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi, wise men from the east, came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." And then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. How was your Christmas? Was it great? Did you get that pair of shoes that now earns you the respect that you always should have had? Or that makeup that now means that you don't have to go for that cosmetic surgery that you were planning to have? You've suddenly become so kissable, it's unbelievable. Your love life is sorted with that little bit of lipstick. That's all you needed. Or that jacket that's going to get you the job. Or the pen that's going to get you the A star, 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 plus, plus. Presents can transform our lives. I didn't get one of those. But I had some really nice presents. They were really good. And what we need, and we heard it last week, is we need transformation. We need to realign ourselves, our hearts, our minds, our beliefs, in line with God himself. And this morning it was great to start with reading the scripture, because this is where it happens. Yeah. Reading this is where it happens. Because in here is the revealed word of God. We need this year, I believe, to get into the word and into worship. And now I need to stop, but I'll carry on. I'll elaborate a little bit. We need to get into the word. We need to get into worship this year, because that will realign our beliefs, our hearts, and our lives, and everyone around us. As Adrian said last week, we need to move out of complacency and into a place of action. Now, that song by Elvis Presley keeps going around in my head, a little less conversation, a little more action. It just keeps going around in my head. And conversation's good and words are good, but sometimes I think all I'm doing is just preaching sermons. What else am I doing? And sometimes we need to think about that, don't we? But getting into the Word of God and into worship is going to realign my heart and my vision. I won't say anything about 2020 and vision at all. Okay, that's banned. I've banned that in my own head. I went to the opticians yesterday. I was so tempted to say something. We look around us at the moment and everything seems like it's on the brink of disaster. You know, the Middle East. And we kind of think, well, there you go. There's World War III about to happen. And then you look at Australia and the disaster that's happening over there. And we look at the climate and what's going on with the climate. And we look at Brexit. We don't know what's going to happen there. It's just that sense of being on the brink of disaster. We need hope. And I believe that the word God has got for us for this year is all of those things that I've just said. But what God wants to bring is hope. Where does our hope come from? And I was asking myself the question, what am I hoping for 2020? What are you hoping for? And I found that really hard question. It's like, well, world peace, £1 million, things like that. But actually, the question I began to ask myself is, what do I need hope for this year? And it became a little bit easier. What do I need hope for? And for some of you, there may be things that are going to be happening in 2020. You're thinking, oh, I need a bit of hope for that. Because at the moment, I'm not quite sure how that's going to turn out. Or maybe there's some things in your family or in your personal circumstances or decisions you need to make or things that didn't happen in 2019 and you need hope for something in your life. What is it that you need hope for? What do we need hope for as a church? We've been given this amazing building and land in the middle of Ormskirk. We don't yet know exactly what that's going to look like, but what are we hoping for that place? To have an impact on the community, to have an impact on those people in need, I believe to share something of the love of God in the way that Beth was talking there. You know, she's going to go to a garbage dump in Brazil. And God wants to go to our garbage dumps. You know, it's interesting that the Magi came and they knew a king was going to be born. So where did they go to? They went to a palace. And it turned out it was the wrong place. Now, I understand why they went there, because that's where I'd have gone. Is a king going to be born? I'm going to go to a palace. I'll go to Buckingham Palace because there's a king being born. Turns out he was born into the least clan of Judah, Bethlehem, and not even in a nice place in Bethlehem, but in the stable, the back of beyond, and that's where the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was born. And in our lives, the question is this, where is he going to be born? Is he going to be born in some massive conference, or will it be the back of beyond of your life? And sometimes we restrict God by the expectations that we have and place on him. But actually God wants to be born in the darkness and the garbage dumps. Where we don't expect him to be, he will be. Because he wants to have an impact. What about our communities and our families, ourselves? I know I need transformation in my life. You can't do, Mike. You're a senior leader of Ormskirk Christian Fellowship. I need transformation in my life, maybe more than anybody else out here right now. You know, I don't want to stand up and preach when I'm not living it. But sometimes, you know, that happens, doesn't it? And so we need transformation. So who can we hope in? I love the way that, you know, when we look at these nativities, we see that the wise men followed a star to Bethlehem. It turns out, I was reading this, I've not seen that before, it wasn't the star that led them to Bethlehem, it was Herod. Herod says, go to Bethlehem. And it says in the Bible, it says there, I've not seen this before, it says, then Herod called the Magi secretly, he sent them to Bethlehem. And sometimes those things which are most opposed to us, and those things which seem to be like the walls and the barriers and the griefs and the losses and the failures, are the things that redirect us into the hope of God. I wasn't meant to come to Ormskirk. I was meant to go to Leeds University. But in order to do that, I was meant to pass my A-levels. And I failed my RE A-level.
I don't believe it.
I did. I was predicted an A. I got an F. Now, looking back, I think maybe I should have sent for a remark. But actually, what was going on there? And that was a disaster. What a failure. And here I am.
Praise God.
In Ormskirk. I love this man. And here I am. Where is God going to lead you? Because it may not be down the paths and the routes that you expect him to be. Because when I speak about hope, suddenly we think of fluffy clouds and unicorns and comfy places and a beautiful, beautiful calm sea. But actually, if we are serious about following a path of hope, if it is hope in Jesus Christ, then it will be the storm on Galilee, and it will be a cross, and it will be a challenge. And this is part of emotionally healthy spirituality that we're looking at. As you look at the wall, as you look at enlarging our soul through grief and loss, there is a redirection that God wants to bring in some of our lives, and that will be not through the way expected or the path easily trod. So the Magi come and they bring these three gifts. And the three gifts they bring, God has been speaking to me about. And you've probably heard 100 sermons about the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. And the first gift of gold speaks to us about the kingship of Jesus Christ. And the question is Jesus king of your life? And when I think about kingship, what I think about is authority. If a king was to walk in right now and say, Mike, I've got something to say, I would step aside because he's got authority. He's got authority. So there is authority in the kingship of Jesus. Dallas Willard, a Christian philosopher and thinker, said that the kingdom is what we genuinely have say over. That's our kingdom, is what we genuinely have say over. And we read earlier on in Isaiah chapter 9, where it says the government will be on his shoulders. And at this present time, Jesus wants to have say over everything in your life, everything in my life. But we're in a time when Jesus allows us to have a choice. There is coming a time when there will be no choice. And we sang it at the very beginning, that first song we sang, he is coming on the clouds. And every knee will bow, whether they like it or not, because they will see he is King of Kings. It says in Revelation, on his thigh will be written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And every knee will bow from every nation state and every background and every culture and every religion. No matter what your beliefs, no matter what your systems, no matter how good you are, how bad you are, every knee will bow to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But right now, what has Jesus got say over in your life? And what are you holding back and keeping back from him? Because we have a choice to allow him to have a say over or not to have a say over at this time. But if Jesus is going to be king in my life, in your life, we need to spend time with him, spend time in his word, spend time worshiping him so that he can have say over everything. Say over our fears. Say over our past. Say over the buried things and the hidden things that no one else sees. Say over our situations, over our boss at work, over those finances, over our commitments. Eventually, every knee will bow. But right now, Jesus says in Matthew 6, 33, seek first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added to you. I love the fact that not only is Jesus king, and therefore we can hope, because he is king, because he has authority, but also he calls us to be his authority. In Luke chapter 10, we see Jesus sending out the disciples, and they go out. And Jesus, I don't know what Jesus is doing, he's just sitting there having a cup of tea, and the disciples are out there, and they're casting out demons, and they come back and say, we healed the sick, and demons were cast out. And Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And it was a powerful verse, because what it means is this, that I saw Satan fall from his place of authority. There is a new authority, and it is the kingdom of God. And as his disciples, as his people go out to the rubbish dumps of the world, then the authority of the King of Kings is being established. As you go into your, as I go into my workplace, you go into your workplace, into your family, into your neighborhoods, into your communities, amongst those children and college students and work people that you're with, amongst the neighborhoods, as we go out as his disciples, then we are representative of his kingdom. I've kind of thought King of Kings, I've always thought that means he's like the king of, you know, all the other kings, you know, Queen Elizabeth, people like that. I've always read it like that, I don't know why. But I think he means us. He's the King of Kings, that we are called to rule and to reign. And Laura spoke about Mary's song in Luke chapter 1. And Mary says this in Luke chapter 1, verse 52. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. And that sounds very nice, but I actually think he's lifted up the humble for a reason, to rule and to reign and to take authority in your situation. What, me? Yes, you. Yeah. I love that story when Jesus heals, was it Peter's mother-in-law? And she was sick and she, you know, she was like really had a high fever, and he goes and heals her. And I kind of would have said, don't you worry, you just sort of sit and recover. But straight away, she's serving him. It says she started serving him. And I kind of thought that really spoke to me. I said, we are healed, we are restored, we are lifted up for ministry and for purpose. And she then was able to step into ministry because of that. So we are called into places of kingship and authority because he is the king. So that's what gold means. And then we look at the frankincense, and the frankincense speaks about Jesus as God. So we've got gold, Jesus as king. Then we've got frankincense, Jesus as God, because frankincense is about worship. And in particular, what struck me about God was the creative power. You can have authority without power. And we can see a lot of that. I mean, kings and queens around the world now, I mean, pretty much most of them have devolved their power to other people. So they've got the authority, but they haven't really got the power. I was listening to a program about Joseph Chamberlain, who was a politician in the 19th century, and he was mayor of Birmingham. And in about 3 or 4 years, he did amazing things in Birmingham. He's still known for it. And this was like the early 1800s. And he managed to improve the sanitation system in Birmingham. He brought about social care reforms. He improved the living standards and the lifestyles of so many people in Birmingham. It's like hero-like status in Birmingham. And then he became a Liberal Democrat in those days, as like a Whig, and they were very powerful. So he served in Gladstone's government. And so he had more authority, but he couldn't get anything done. And he tried to get all sorts of laws passed and things to do with Ireland and things like that. I just couldn't get it done. So we had, in one sense, more authority but less power. I remember watching a program about Barack Obama, and Barack Obama trying to get things through government. And he was saying, why is it? And he was being interviewed. He said, why is it that I'm the most powerful man in the world, but I can't do anything? But Jesus was God. Jesus was God. It says in Isaiah 9, he is mighty, mighty God. Psalm 46 says this, be still and know that I am God. And then I love it in John chapter 8, because in John chapter 8, and they tried to stone him for this, it wasn't popular. And in John chapter 8 and verse 58, the Jews are criticizing him and says, you're not 50 years yet, 50 years old, the Jews said to him, and you have seen Abraham. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. That was like a lightning bolt. That was like a dynamite blowing up. I am, he said. When Moses met God, Moses said to God, who shall I say sent me? And God says, I am. And Jesus is identifying. He says, I am God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So I thought, well, I'm going to have a look at this God. And God in Genesis chapter 1, I love Genesis. So if you're going to get through the year, just start reading Genesis. I've started again. I'm going to get through the Bible again this year. And Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens. Our God is a creative God. We can hope in Jesus because he is king with authority and he is God with creative power. The heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Was that what your life's like? Formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. I would love that as a playback. When I get to heaven, the darkness over the deep. Can you imagine that, first of all? And it had always been like that for eternity, just that darkness there. And God said, and you just almost feel like the angels and everybody on the edge of their seat, you know, when you know something's going to happen. Let that. You can almost imagine them saying, just say it, God, just say it. Let there be boom light. And all of a sudden, the darkness goes. And everything is revealed. And everything is created and everything is formed from that moment onwards. And the formlessness becomes clarity, identity, form. And the emptiness becomes abundance and flourishing and increase. This is our God. This is the Jesus that we hope in. Psalm 89, verse 15. Let's just turn to that one very quickly. Psalm 89, verse 15. I'm just like overwhelmed with the number of scriptures I could read out this morning. Psalm 89, verse 15 says this, blessed are you who have learned of those who have learned to acclaim you, to worship you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. We are called to walk in his light, to worship. And as we worship, it brings life. In Psalm 148, it says, praise the Lord, you sun and moon. I kind of thought, how can the sun and moon praise God? They're not human beings. Surely it's just human beings that praise the sun and moon. But then I remembered about when Jesus went into Jerusalem and everybody was praising him and worshiping, and the Jews there said, tell your people to stop doing that, the Pharisees. And Jesus said, if If they stop praising me, then the very stones will cry out. And I kind of thought, oh, I wish the people had stopped praising him. Because wouldn't that have been amazing? For the stones, imagine like little Muppet stones. These stones praising God, what's that look like? I think there'll come a time when we know what that looks like. I think that when God created the world from his breath, it wasn't ex nihilo. It wasn't creation out of nothing. It was creation out of him. And I believe that, and I'm trying not to get too dodgy here, I believe that God is in the whole of his creation. And that when sun and moon worship him, it's about that resonance with God. And that when we worship, we're not just singing songs, as wonderful as the songs are, as pretty as they are, but we are connecting with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we are resonating with him. And that's why it's important to worship and to praise God, because it brings a hope deep down inside of us, because something inside of us resonates with him. Deep calls to deep, it says in the Psalms. So I believe that we need to increase our worship this year, increase our word of God this year. God is calling for an increase of commitment from his people to worship and to praise him. And then the final gift is the gift of myrrh. And the gift of myrrh, as many of us know, is the gift of that declares that Jesus is King, Jesus is God. Have a good day. Jesus is man. Jesus took on flesh. Jesus chose to give up his kingship, his godliness, his godship, whatever you want to call it. He said, I come down. Myrrh speaks of love. We can hope because we have a king who is also God, who also loves us. God of compassion. And this last part of the talk, I've changed about 100 times, but let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. And there's so much in Peter, I didn't realize there's so much in Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And this gift of myrrh was the gift of the cross. And Jesus Christ came because at the cross and at his blood, we can find hope in every situation that we're in this coming year. What are you in need of hope for? What do you need hope for this year? What do we as a church need hope for this year? Whatever you need hope for, you need Jesus as King. To have authority over every part of your life, to have say over every part of your life. Right now, just in a moment of silence, Holy Spirit, reveal to us those areas of our lives where maybe we haven't allowed you to have say over, or maybe we've been worried about that, or whatever it might be. Just reveal to us now, Holy Spirit, as we're in this place of prayer, what do you need to have say over? And in those areas, Lord, we declare you now prophetically to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We invite you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We say you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we want to live our lives this year differently so that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords in every area of our lives, in our thinking, in our beliefs, in our hearts, in our actions, in our relationships, in our finances, in our workplaces. Lord, we pray that you would have authority now and you would help us to be your authority. That we would see Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And we would know that the government is on your shoulders. And Lord God, where we feel powerless and empty and formless, those areas in our lives, Lord, where we need your creative power, not just your authority, but we need something amazing to happen. We need Red Seas to part. We need the miracle of storms to be quietened. We need healing, Lord God. We need things which shouldn't happen to happen. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come with your creative power and move again, just as you hovered over the waters at the beginning of time, hover over the waters of our lives, Lord, because our only hope is found in you. And lastly, Lord, you know, even youths grow weary and tired. But those who hope in the Lord will soar on wings like eagles. And we need, Lord God, to know what it is to live in your mercy and your grace. And so we come before you, knowing that you love us so much. We want to declare our love to you. And once again, we pick ourselves up, Lord. We raise up our heads again, Lord God. We hope again. We stand up again, Lord. Though we've been knocked down 100 times, we stand up again and we say, Lord God, lift us up, equip us and strengthen us again. Thank you for your cross, that moment of immense weakness that was the place of our immense strengthening and power and glory. Lord, thank you for your cross. And once again, we stand here at the foot of the cross. At the start of this year, we stand at the foot of your cross and we receive all that you did there. We thank you for your resurrection, which declared that death has no victory. And as we go out into this world, Lord, we go as you did. As the suffering servant, we go out, Lord God, to suffer for others. Wherever you call us to go, help us to be people of compassion who listen, who will honor others, who will show kindness to others. Amen.